Welcome back to the Gardening with Join Holly radio show. Life of your soil moments away, but first, honey be healthy.
Since 2000, Honey Bee Healthy Inc. has helped beekeepers maintain healthy and thriving hives. Attracting pollinators to your garden this year is as simple as hanging a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of sugar and water and Honey Bee Healthy Original. Don't be alarmed to see birds, bees, and butterflies dining together at the feeder. Pollinators coexist peacefully. Honey Bee Healthy is offering a 10% discount on an 8-ounce bottle of Honey Bee Healthy Original to the show's listeners. Enter code BEEGARDEN, that's B-E-E Garden, at checkout. For information and more, you can go to honeybeehealthy.com. That's honey, the letter B, healthy.com.
Your soil is alive. That's why your garden grows. In the big ag industry, soil is dead. It's sprayed with chemicals, and it's a medium for the plants to grow in and to then they pump the chemicals into the plant and the fertilizer. We do things differently in the backyard.
Right. So, but I just want to talk about what soil is made out of, basically.
Okay.
And also, yeah, just what soil is made of. And there's also different layers to your soil. So the parent materials of soil, what soil is made out of, is anything from rocks, which rocks are then broken down by weathering, erosion, water, wind, temperature change, gravity, chemical interaction, living organisms, pressure differences, all break that down. And as it's being broken down, it also, things are incorporated, like natural materials like leaves, plant life, whatever. And then there are living organisms in your soil. So that is natural bacteria, decomposers. There's little microscopic decomposers. There's larger decomposers like worms, beetles.
Grubs.
Grubs.
And those animals die and they become part of the soil as well.
Yeah. So it's a whole continual web in a way, and also just a whole continual cycle that goes on and on. So it can be all of those things. And over time, the soil will lose some of the parent material. The old soil, the soil that's not as alive, will often erode away or get blown away in the wind, what have you. So it's a whole
Cycle,
yeah.
And Holly has a degree in this. That's why she is so fluent in this description of what soil is.
Yeah, and so there's a whole profile. So if you were looking at if you stuck a cylinder down in the soil and took like a cross section of that, the first layer, the top layer, is the horizon, which is the humus rich topsoil where you grow things. That's going to be the highest in the organic matter, where the biological activity is the highest, like plant roots growing, earthworms, insects, microorganisms, active, thriving. And so that's the A horizon. The B horizon is the subsoil, which is often clay. And this is less fertile than the topsoil, but holds more moisture. And it is generally like a lighter color. Like if you ever dig down in your soil, you'll have like that darker, hopefully, you'll have the darker topsoil. And then if you dig deeper, you'll find this lighter color soil or clay-like soil typically. And then there's the underlying weathered rock where a lot of times that will break down and come to the top. So it's always moving around, always shifting. And a lot of earthworms, because they go down to 8 feet down into your soil, bring that back up to the surface.
It continues to cycle it around. And so there's a lot of different activity and a lot of different items moving about in order to get your soil fertile and healthy. And in nature, not by us making compost in our backyard, but in nature, you go to the forest, it takes between 100 and 1,000 years, based on different charts online, to create 1 inch of topsoil. So that's a long time in order for the leaves and the pine needles and the tree debris to drop and to rot and to biodegrade and the microbes and all that to do what it needs to do in order to build that 1 inch of topsoil. That's a long time, 100 to 500 to 1,000 years.
It does. It does take a long time, and it's continually happening. And
but in our backyards, we can do this in a rapid progression.
But if you think about it, you know, Joey and I were talking about mulch, and you're like, okay, enough with the mulch already. But if you've ever
is your friend.
If you've ever veered off, you know, even just at your local park and looked into the more forested areas, you will see that you're not going to see bare soil. You're going to see leaves, which act as a mulch, or even like evergreen branches that have fallen down, things like that, or regular branches.
Or in an area where things don't grow very good, you're going to have trash weeds or trash trees, something covering and holding that soil in place.
Trash trees.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and so there's a lot of things that are breaking down, and it's below what you may think is going on, and you might think, well, it's just dirt, but it's not dirt. It's a living, breathing thing that's going on. And I mean, I could do probably a whole segment about worms, but worms have a huge factor in this. So if you are ever like, I never see worms, you know, when I'm digging in my garden, if you mulch, you will find worms, because worms will come where the food is. They'll find that food. If you add compost, they'll find that compost. If you build it, they will come.
Right.
If you give them something to eat, they will show up. And worms, they won't overpower themselves. They'll kind of take over the space as they need to, and they're not going to reproduce too much where they won't have enough food. They're very smart.
Absolutely. And you don't have to bring worms in. Oh, by the way, dirt is dead. Soil is alive, if you want to look at the true meaning of those. You don't have to add worms. People say, well, I'll just add worms to my raised bed. I'll just add worms to my garden. Don't do that. You're introducing something different into your ecosystem. In a raised bed, you don't have to add anything, because you've brought in very good soil that you don't need to have worms do anything to it. If you put your beds on top of the native soil, then worms will find their way up into your raised bed. Containers don't add worms. Worms don't add worms to grow bags. It doesn't need it, and it's a whole nother mess that you're introducing that you don't need problems for.
And it's one thing to consider also, if you ever decide to, you know, maybe purchase a new home or move somewhere and you want to grow a garden, you would have to look at the topography of where you're moving to. Sometimes, you know, you might find a place that's on a slight hill, and that could cause soil erosion faster because you have an incline or a decline. Or if you move to one of these brand new subdivisions that doesn't maybe have good soil yet, that's been building over time, or that somebody put just a layer of topsoil over whatever, you may have to invest in raised beds.
Soil tests from SoilSavvy.com will also tell you what you need to know if you're moving to a new place and you don't know what the soil is like, or you know what's going on in your backyard and you need to figure out why things are so out of whack. They will tell you in that soil test.
Right. And if you live in an area where there's a lot of clay, which occurs in many areas of where, especially where the glaciers came through, and where the glaciers didn't come through, there might be sand. So you have these two subsoils where even near the topsoil, where you might not have a lot of opportunity for very fertile soil, you do have options, again, like raised beds, straw bale, just even like some nice container gardening, or grow bags.
There you go. So your soil is alive, and there's a lot of things in which we do that can damage it, and there's a lot of things in which we can do to help it along.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing you can always do is add more organic material. So that could be anything from like coffee grounds to your kitchen scraps to leaves to, if you have some straw, that will all break down over time. That will feed those worms, feed those other organisms. If you find mushrooms growing in your backyard, don't freak out. It means that you have some sort of healthy ecosystem going on. Just don't let your kids or your pets eat them. Don't eat them yourself, and let them do their thing. But
you can also, if you don't want to compost, you can also do trench composting, meaning like dig a trench like you're going to plant potatoes, put your compost in a place in which you're not going to plant this year, cover it up, and the next year plant on top of where that stuff was and that you buried, and it'll be very nutrient-rich soil for your tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and so on.
That's always a great option as well.
Soon it will be warming up, Holly, and we want to make sure that we can enjoy our yard without sharing it with those Japanese beetles and grubs.
Yeah, with spring, you know, pretty much here, it's time to start thinking about those those grubs in your garden yard, controlling them, etc. You know, before you know it, you're going to be out in the backyard, chilling, relaxing, grilling, whatever you got going on. And there's, of course, you know, those Japanese beetles. Your neighbor's probably going to come over while you're grilling, give you, you know, have some chit-chat and talk about those Japanese beetles.
Grub Gone can be applied directly to the turf or garden around ornamentals and to control those grubs and lessen the impact those beetles will have on your yard this summer. Easy to apply with any commercial spreader or irrigate right into the soil. Specifically designed to control the targeted grubs, beetles, and invaders without harming those beneficial insects such as bees, ladybugs, and butterflies.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylombioproducts.com.